Down after lunch. Not too bad.
Not bad.
135. It's pretty good for us, actually. So, okay, we're back. I'd like to welcome everybody from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. I think we might as well just go ahead and get started with it. So please come on up, and maybe you can introduce the rest of the board to our board. Yeah, it should...
Hello? Okay. Hi. Hi, my name is Caitlin Saposi-Belknap. I'm the president of the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District Board. This is Alderaan Laird, who is our vice president, and Bruce Rupp, Barbara Heckathorn, and then also Carol Reisch is our general manager, and Barry Van Sickle is our superintendent. And we're all here because it's our board meeting today, too. So we just adjourned and came over to do this presentation. Thank you so much for your interest. And I know a couple of you have already seen some of this because we have been out there in the community a fair amount, but we really welcome and appreciate that you all are interested, and so thank you so much. I'm going to go pretty quick through this, and so I think you have the presentation, and we'll try to keep it to 20 minutes, and then if you, ideally with the questions, but I want to make sure you get what you need out of it. So let's see. What I was going to cover and what we've been covering to the community is a brief introduction to the Water District. I know some of you probably are already familiar, so just a little review. And then to tell you about our current situation, the major issues that we're addressing right now, and our water resource planning process, which is what we have embarked on to address our situation, and what came out of that process and where we are now and where we're headed. So the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District is a wholesale entity. We supply and treat water and then deliver it to the municipal customers, the cities, and community service districts in the Humboldt Bay region. And we have our source of supply is Ruth Lake and the Mad River, and then obviously we have our pumping and delivery system pipes and all of that in the Humboldt Bay region. So Ruth Lake is at the bottom of the image there. It's a pretty small reservoir, and it can reliably supply 75 million gallons of water per day, and the water is stored at Ruth and then in the winter and then released in the summer and fall and then diverted at Essex, which is about 9 miles from the mouth. We have two totally separate delivery systems. Our domestic system delivers treated drinking water and has a capacity of 20 million gallons of water per day. And then our industrial system, which is, again, totally separate, it is untreated surface water, and that capacity is 60 million gallons of water per day. So the overwhelming majority of the capacity is on that industrial side. And you can see here the two classes of customers that we have historically had. Our municipal customers there on the left, and the former pulp mills and their water use is represented there on the right. The Water District is about 50 years old, and for those 50 years, we've had a very reliable system. We also have an environmentally friendly system. We have no out-of-basin water transfer, so the Mad River is really unique from the other North Coast rivers. And we also have little impact to the natural hydroglass of the Mad River. Our lake is pretty small. And we actually enhance the flows in the summer and the fall, which benefits fisheries. We've also been cost-effective because we're sharing the costs with all of our customers, and we have a really good partnership with all those customers, as John hopefully knows in McKinleyville. We also have a habitat conservation plan, and I actually asked Alderaan if he would want to just say, you know, share this, because Alderaan, before getting on the board, was actually the person who really worked with the board to develop it. So I just wanted to acknowledge him. And really,
I just want to point out to the board that our board takes a very proactive approach to the way we operate on the Mad River, and we prepared the first habitat conservation plan for any water agency in California, and we're successful in getting our incidental take agreement. And I think it's really because we have what we consider a fish-friendly system. We use the river as our conveyance system. We don't take it out of the river and run it through pipelines. And we enhance the flows, which otherwise would be a dry river channel for several months in the summer below Ruth Dam. So we've had overall a positive effect, and the agencies acknowledge that in issuing our incidental take agreement. But it was, again, it's our board, which is our trend, is to go after things rather than react to it. So that's what we did.
And I'm not sure if you said that, but we are the only water district in California that does have an HDP. But we also have some major challenges. Our infrastructure is 50 years old, along with the district, and we've seen a significant loss of our customer base. And I know that's the last time we were here, was Carol was doing a presentation about the mill that was trying to open up again, and we all know didn't. So the loss of the industrial customer base, you can see the blue line represents those industrial customers, and then the red line is our municipal. So in the 90s, you can see the closing of the Simpson Mill when there was a drop-off, and then again last year basically took us to zero on the industrial side. So the implications for us have been with respect to our water rights and also cost increases. You all probably know this, but in essence, the state owns surface water rights and gives permits to entities like the Water District to use the rights for a beneficial use. Our permits are currently for municipal and industrial use, and if you don't use the water under your permit, then the state can revoke the right and take it back. So you can see here in this graph what our permitted use is on the left, and basically if you look all the way to the right, that white arrow line represents all the water that we are not currently using that we are permitted to. Our permit is to 2029, and we actually did receive a 25-year extension last time we applied, but it was very clear from the state that we're going to need to put a use to that, otherwise they weren't really going to be doing any more, no more extensions probably in our future. So in terms of cost increases, we've seen tremendous cost increases. The last year that the Simpson Mill was paying, our municipal customers were sharing about $700,000 of costs. And then last year, after the Evergreen Mill closed, their costs were at $4 million. And that's not just because of the loss of the mill. It also includes a new drinking water treatment plant that we had to install, which was required by the state. And then we've also seen power costs go up and regulatory costs go up, especially for our dam and our hydro facility. So what that means for all of us who live in the Humboldt Bay region is that our water rates have gone up significantly. So we embarked on what we call the water resource planning process to involve the public in educating them about the issue that was at hand for us, finding out what was most important to them in terms of water use going forward, and come up with options and get ideas, and then to make recommendations for the board to develop a plan to move forward so that by 2029 we are putting our water to use. So we developed an advisory committee that was made up with the stakeholders that are mentioned there, and their job was to work with the district to develop a public outreach process, a pretty robust public outreach process, and to generate options and then make recommendations to the board. So you can see the phases of planning. I won't go through all of this, but initially we did education and developed what we called evaluation criteria that would help determine the values that were most important for any future water use. We then generated options and then evaluated those options, and there were public meetings at every one of those steps. There were over 50 educational sessions in the course of about a year and a half. We had 9 public meetings, and out of it we came to agreement about a framework for evaluating water use options, and then we agreed on a suite of possible uses, and there was a really excellent report that the advisory committee, which was made up of those stakeholders, prepared for the board. The evaluation criteria, this really all came from public input, that rose to the top, was that basically what we found is that what the public really wanted was local control, wanted the water district to maintain control of those rights. And so we actually raised that up to be a threshold criteria, and then legally viable also seemed as though it should really be a threshold criteria. So any proposal that comes forward or came forward out of the process would be measured against these two to make before it would go forward. And then the other issues that were of concern to the public were environmental, access, economic development, district cost recovery, so trying to lower those rates, and community quality of life. As far as our uses, per California water law and the beneficial use doctrine, we really have three options. We could use the water within the district, we could use the water outside of the district, which would involve a transfer, or we could dedicate in-stream flow for environmental enhancement. So these are the ideas that came forward from the public and our public processes and those meetings. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can see that there's, you know, a real diversity looking at trying to get new companies to locate, like the mills, to creating a lake in Blue Lake, some new industry potentially coming forward. And also you can also see that obviously some of these really wouldn't use a lot of water when we're talking about 60 million gallons, but we certainly believe that, you know, there might be a number of things that might ultimately add up. So uses outside of the district involved selling the water to another municipality or to another, to a private entity. The idea of a pipeline came up. And also another idea that came up was transferring the water to another watershed. And then in-stream flow, really is that just one option? So where we are now is that the water district has, the board has accepted the advisory committee's report. We've established three water use goals, and we tiered the recommended options that you just saw, the full list. We tiered them and are moving towards adopting an implementation plan, and right now that's in draft form. Our board has accepted it in draft form, and we're looking for public input on this kind of last stage before we move forward with the plan. Our goals are to protect the water district's water rights and increase water use so that we can maintain that control, fiscal sustainability, and hopefully helping generate revenues not just for our current rates but also for our capital improvements that are necessary given our infrastructure situation, and environmental sustainability and preserving the Mad River and ideally, if possible, enhancing it. The top tier options that the board pulled out of the list that you saw before was water use sales in the area, so like another mill or something like that, probably not a mill but another industry, and or transferring water to another public agency. We took private agency off the table for the moment, and really decided that a public agency would be better to pursue first, and dedicating some portion of the available water for in-stream flows in the Mad River. So all of these things will require, we're not moving, there's nobody that we're in negotiation with, there's no proposals on the table, this is more just, these are our priorities, this is what we're right now pursuing to research and determine the feasibility. So the plan, which is available on our website, and if anybody would like a copy, we could get you one, includes all this background, the goals, our water supply that is available, which is about 60 million gallons of water per day, and then, you know, the process for moving forward. So we've started to get input from multiple agencies, including yours, and we're hoping to get that input by June 30th because we're going to be holding a public hearing, actually probably two, on July 14th, and are planning to approve the plan and start to move forward then. And just to be clear, that doesn't really cut us off from any options. It just really says what our priorities are for the moment. So you can see how to weigh in if you're interested or if anyone in the public is, and submit comments. And I just want to thank you for your time. I went through really quick, so if anybody has any questions, feel free to, I can go back on slides or what have you. But I think I kept it to with enough time for you to ask some questions.
You're doing just fine. Have you ever done this before?
Once or twice. That whole 50 presentations, we shared them all. So, so yeah, any questions? Comments?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
First of all, obviously you've exhausted, because the mills have gone and so forth, you have exhausted pretty much the ability to sell water. When you look at in-district stuff, is there any realistic probabilities of either encouraging industrial relocation, or, and what would you have to give up to do that?
Well, if you'll indulge me for another 3 minutes, I can show you some research that was done at HSU and some of the folks in economic development. It's already right here about other industries that use water, because it doesn't bode very well in terms of the amount that we have. But it's worth, we definitely wanted to keep it on the table. So here's a quick example. Here are two local entities that use a fair amount of water, compared to like a household. And this is, if you were to compare them to a really large bottling facility for beverages. But remember, the amount that we have is 60 million gallons of water per day, and it's untreated. And then here is just a comparison of lots of different types of industries that use a fair amount of water. So you can see on the left is the beverages, then the red. Then we looked at some manufacturing options, and these were looking at like specific plants to kind of get a sense. There's food processing, power production. Our municipal customers are on there, and then on the right, you can see those are the mills and what their use was. So to put it another way, if you took one of every single one of those industries and had a facility locate here, and we had one of every single one, that would add up to about 10 million gallons of water per day, which is what our municipal customers use. And then when you put the mills on, it's a possibility, and kind of what I said before about, several little things could start to add up, but realistically, especially considering all the other restraints about a business locating here from outside, and that we haven't had much success with that for any of the other ways and avenues that has been tried, I personally am not very optimistic, but we certainly have it on the table, and we have been working with folks in the economic development community in Humboldt County, and they know of our situation, and they certainly are telling the world that we have this resource available.
Even if we were able to somehow lure Coca-Cola, Anheuser-Busch to locate here, and our community would welcome them with open arms, we're still, 16 million gallons a day short. Mm-hmm. So I would think that, after exhausting all of your sources, and even if you were to come up with your laundry list of what we could possibly use this water for, there's still going to be a major surplus of water here. Mm-hmm. So, seeing that writing on the wall, are you still kind of scratching your head on what do we do with it?
Well, that's why the transport to another municipality and the in-stream flows options are two that that we need to find out more about. Yeah. And those two do involve more work on our part to work out the details. An industry locating here, the water district doesn't have that much to say about what that would look like other than being able to supply the water. But selling the water to another municipality, and we actually received, I think one of the main reasons why we did this process was to get a better sense of where the public is at on that,
sure,
considering that it has come up before and there was a really strong reaction. But I think once people understood our situation better, and also if there are some limitation, a clear contract that is for a set amount of time. We also heard that folks would be more open to us doing business with an entity that's closer to home, so maybe somewhere in the North Coast region, as opposed to far down in Southern California, somebody that's not wholly dependent on our water as, they're really their primary source. All of those, like for example, some of the entities that are looking at desal plants, our water might be a better option for them, and it wouldn't be the only place where they're getting water. So we are, looking into that, and we now have a much better understanding of the kinds of customers that our public would be more willing for us to engage with and what those contracts might look like. But it's still to be seen whether that's really viable. And then same with the in-stream flows. That there's no paying customer there, but it certainly uses the water for the water rights. But there's a lot still to be researched and found out about, would it really have an environmental benefit? And can you measure it? And, the amount of water that we're talking about isn't that much. And how do you... So we actually just applied for a grant to help us try and understand the situation a little bit better. Do you want
to... Mr. Chair.
One of the things that we're, besides the water rights, is that we have that entirely separate water system, the surface water system with all its infrastructure that the community is invested in. And we need a paying customer of some volume of water to maintain that infrastructure, but we really need revenue to help us with our capital improvement program. We have a 50-year system that needs rebuilding, so we really do need to find new revenue, which means a customer, even if it's only for a couple of million gallons and not 10 or 60, but at least it would use that infrastructure and provide a revenue base or an additional revenue base.
Because the possibility of selling it to other municipalities, other public entities, certainly with the 4.4 plan now in jeopardy as it goes through the courts between Imperial, Metropolitan, and San Diego, I'm sure you've looked at what the implications would be. Buying water for a district that was located wherever, it's going to involve some kind of an infrastructure investment, which I would think would be very, very difficult to get over that, to get past the legal uncertainty and then also the problem of an investment in that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at potentials that you might talk to?
Well, I would say that we're not quite there yet. By approving these three as sort of the first tier, that puts us right where we would want to be to then start that kind of research. And we do have an attorney that, besides our regular attorney, that is in Sacramento, who has a better understanding of the state situation, who we've been working with through this whole process, because we definitely understand that it mm-hmm. is going to be, there's going to be a lot of legal research and implications for moving in that direction. That's true, and we also have some input from we're working with the Harbor District right now to see if it's even feasible in our harbor mm-hmm. to move the kind of water that we're talking about, because that's still mm-hmm. really unknown. There's been some ideas that it would work, but nothing really terribly solid.
Several, I was going to say years, but I believe it's now decades. Barbara's late husband, Lloyd Heckathorn, was looking at putting water in giant baggies and towing it down the coast to San Diego. That seemed to have almost an economic possibility to it.
Well, that's what I mean about the working with the Harbor District to determine mm-hmm. that either bags or tankers are probably, as you saw, the pipeline kind of came off the table for us. It's not even in the second tier just because of the cost, and mm-hmm. The viability doesn't seem like it would really work.
No matter what, your mode of transport is going to be coming right in and out of this bay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. That's it's going to be a marine transport, I think, for everyone kind of assumes that.
First of all, I think you're very realistic that if you look at the range of options of industry here, you're not going to get the 60 MGD. And incidentally, the pulp mills never totally utilized that sum either when both of them were here. And there was, I wouldn't dignify it with more than a rumor, but the rumor was that by buying the extra $10 million between them, they could keep out any a third-party entrant in the pulp mill business and keep an adequate supply. But I think there is, and I've seen the city of Eureka, and I know the people are trying really hard, but they really tried very hard for what I call a heavy industrial type of job attraction. And basically, it's not happening anywhere in the United States right now. And so I think you're being very realistic that and if you can get the revenue, God knows, my district pays a lot and we'll pay more, I'm sure. So we definitely want you to get some revenue, but I think you have quite an excess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I realize the in-stream issue gets very difficult, what times of year and flows and stuff, and also whether you can use it in the ocean to attract the salmon to migrate. And I don't know whether you've kicked around putting in, applying to the State Board for 5 MGD just for that ocean purpose and sort of putting a little burden on them whether they would buy into it at a larger number. And I don't think you should worry about 5 million MGD. I mean, you need to worry about 40, 45 million MGD. And that might be a way to test the legal waters on that, because a lot of attorneys looked at it and they go, well, maybe, maybe not. And I sort of share their concern there. But if you threw in 5 million MGD on the table to go for in-stream uses for basically an ocean discharge to track salmon and their migratory patterns. Might be really interesting what came out of it. Might be pretty cheap for you, and you can sub in your study rather than doing a major element. And I don't think you'd lose too much. And if it's going sour, you can just withdraw the state and say you're dropping it. So I'd certainly consider that, because that's real interesting. The other problem, more and more you run into with anadromous fish, is they get confused if you start putting water in different watersheds. And I don't know how the state and Fish and Game are looking at that these days, and how great a problem that is. But I do think your big decisions are the correct ones, and I really appreciate you going forward with them. And I would hope, if you can, to try some type of in-stream use of the water going into the ocean. Would be a real interesting California legal precedent. And don't work too hard at it. Don't spend a lot of money on it, but, you know, sort of tease the state out on where they're coming.
Thanks for your comments, John. And, I mean, we did take the transfer to another watershed off the table, and one of the big reasons was because of what you know, the last thing that you said. And to do an in-stream flow option, we would have to change our permits with the state.
Yes.
And so, you know, we definitely would need to prove some reason for that, and, you know, it can't just be a guess that it might help. We'd have to have some study to back it up. So that's what we're kind of trying to find out now, is how much do we need, because it is sort of experimental, and what would that look like?
You have come and given us a very good outline of the problem, and I think you do have a problem. Is there anything that we can do for you?
I don't think so. I mean, unless there's something that I'm missing. Yeah, you want to mention that?
We're going to be holding a series of scoping workshops with regulatory agencies and other interested stakeholders on that in-stream flow dedication option, just to get on the table what is the scope of the studies that would need to be done to verify there's actually a beneficial use. And we would certainly love to have participation from your agency if we could. You know, I think you'll be a key player going forward with that regulatory approval.
Yeah, and I think other than that, we just wanted to respond to the inquiry and, you know, keep you abreast of the situation. And as we move forward, especially with that in-stream flow option, there might be a nexus at some point. But for our draft plan, if you do have any comments, we are looking for those by June 30th so that we can adopt or incorporate them before we approve. It's really more accept the plan and take it out of draft and start to move forward.
Can we put the executive officer on the spot a little bit, and both obviously because you're aware of it, but in terms of what we can do as far as their regulatory, well, their scoping session and keeping abreast of this? Will we have somebody at those scoping sessions?
We're planning to attend the scoping sessions.
They're not scheduled yet.
Nor would we plan to attend them, just to be clear. Just, you know, it's an issue that's really, it's of interest to us. It's certainly touches on what we do, but it's just not in the core of what we're, our regulatory mission. But it's really good, and I personally really appreciate the presentation to understand what's going on and the issues that you're facing.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Please. Yep.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you especially, Mr. Hales, because I know that this was that you pushed to have it happen. You guys have a busy meeting, so thanks for taking the time to give us a spot.
Well, and likewise, we thought we were going to have a two-day meeting and had you scheduled for yesterday, so equally thanks for taking a pause in your meeting to come here.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
That was Craig. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.